going to do a lesson today. It's a fun lesson. It's called, What Kind of Fish Are You?
Oh.
Matthew chapter 13, verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish.
Come on.
What kind of fish are you? When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and they collected the good fish in baskets. Amen? But they threw away the bad. This is how it will be at the end of the age. This is Jesus talking. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh my goodness, you say.
Come on.
Man, what kind of fish are you? Sounded like a fun sermon. What happened? Just in the course of one little scripture, it got to the fiery furnace. Oh my goodness. Well, Jesus had a way of doing that, didn't he? Jesus had a way of kind of getting your attention and then laying out the eternal truths. What kind of fish are you? You know, there are all kinds of fish in the net. And the parable here, the net, is the kingdom of God. Right? So, in the church, there shouldn't just be one kind of fish in the church.
Right.
Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
There shouldn't just be one type of personality in the church.
Right.
There shouldn't just be one type of culture in the church. There shouldn't just be one age in the church. Are you with me? But God's church ought to have all ages, all races, all types of fish in the net.
Come on.
Well, I want you to know how many kinds of fish there are. There are over 25,000 identified species of fish. And some say there may be 15,000 fish species yet to even be quantified or identified. Now, there are more species of fish than amphibians, reptiles, birds, and mammals combined.
Wow.
There's a lot of fish. Amen. Some species of fish can fly.
What?
Yeah. Well, we glide maybe is more accurate. But we call them flying fish. You seen these guys?
No.
Man, Roger sent me an email a little while ago with one of these documentary videos in it. Of not flying fish, but jumping fish. These guys were riding down the river and fish were just jumping. And it was so bad and so many, they were like knocking people out. Like, jumping in the boat. You know, this is an amazing video, so maybe we should recirculate that. Amen. Send that around. Other fish can skip along the surface of the water. Other fish can climb rock. Did you know that? Yes, there's a fish called the spotted climbing perch. It's able to absorb oxygen from the air and will crawl over land in search of water when its water hole dries up.
Whoa.
That's a pretty ingenuitive little creature right there. Amen. Smallest fish, it's the Filipini goby. It's less than 1/3 of an inch fully grown. Largest is the whale shark. It gets up to 50 feet long. Don't want to meet that guy. Amen. The world's largest lake trout was caught in Canada. Who'd guess how big this lake trout was?
25 pounds.
Huh? 13 pounds. 25 pounds. 16 pounds. 16 pounds. What again? What again? No. 102 pounds.
What?
Lake trout.
Thank you, bro.
That's like catching my son on a hook. 100 pounds. Guy caught that fish. What kind of fish are you? Fish number one. The blowfish. Oh, baby.
Come on, bro.
Let me tell you about the blowfish. It's also known as the puffer fish. It's called the puffer fish because when it is threatened, it puffs up to about twice its size by gulping water.
Oh, come on, bro. Lay it out.
So,
lay it
Are you a spiritual blowfish? When you are afraid or threatened, do you gulp the... Back off, baby! That's exactly what the blowfish does. It just inflates itself by gulping in that water. And you know, I can't help but think about my dear sister in the Lord, Kama Parlor. Because last time we were at Syracuse, and she was sharing with the church all the good news from Chicago, she was honest about how she felt when she was first asked to move and plant a church. And I was like, "Woo! Is that little sweet Kama right there?" She said, "I was thinking, been there, done that." And she actually said, "I started acting in a way so that people would back off." Not that you've ever done that.
No.
The spiritual blowfish. Now, the blowfish also contains an extremely strong paralyzing poison called tetrodotoxin. Its poison is about 1,000 times deadlier than cyanide. So it emits that stuff in the water. So back off and die.
Oh, no.
It's amazing what we do when we get afraid.
Yeah.
And we feel threatened. We want to get people to back off, and we want to put them down before they put us down sometimes. The spiritual blowfish, oh baby. Puffed up. Oof, my goodness. Okay, here's an amazing fact. There's no known antidote for this poison, by the way. No known antidote. Fugu, any sushi fans? I like it a lot, but I'm not eating this. Fugu is a Japanese pufferfish, and it's eaten in Japan. But only specially trained chefs who can minimize the amounts of poison prepare it. Even so, many Japanese diners have died eating this poisonous delicacy. That reminds me of the country song, "I Know What I Was Feeling, But What Was I Thinking?" I mean, my goodness, eat something that you know could kill you. Why do people smoke? Anyway, let's move right along. Acts 24.
Come on, Chris.
Are you a spiritual blowfish?
Come on, bro.
In Acts 24, we have a little example here of what happens when you get afraid. Some of you already know what I'm turning to. Acts 24:24. Paul is on trial here before Felix. And he's preaching. In Acts 24:24, several days later, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla. There's a name for you. Amen.
Like
who was a Jewess. She was a Jewess. So she should have understood the Jewish beliefs. Well, he sent for Paul and listened to him while he spoke about his faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul is defending himself on trial. What's he talking about? His faith in Jesus. Amen?
Yep.
As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Oh, baby. He's there awaiting a man's judgment, and he says, "Let me just lay it out that, dude, you're the one that's going to be judged." Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. We'll call you when we find it more convenient." Thank you very much. Just puffed on up there and said, "That's enough. Back off." Because the message landed home. You know, I don't know how the message lands or will land today for you. I wish the parable said that the kingdom was like a net full of only good fish. That's what I wish. And you know, that's our sentimental heart. Now, in a sense, we want to believe the best about people. That's what I love about my friend Chris.
Yeah.
He always believes the best about people and is quick to defend and say, "Well, here's why maybe they did that." Now, We want to believe the best in people, and I think some of us need to work on that. But we can't go so far as to believe the best if it's not there. And so we want to believe everybody's good. Well, let's just lay it out. The only way you're going to find out is if you preach the word and see how they respond.
That's right.
Yeah, come on.
When the word goes out, it does not come back void. Some it softens, some it hardens.
Yep.
But it will achieve what it is supposed to achieve. So let's believe the best, but don't be naive.
That's right.
Only when the word is preached will you find out.
That's right, come on.
What are you afraid of? Are we more threatened by a person or the truth? Because if we're scared of a person, we might not hear the truth. That's what we need to be worried about. That's what gets us in trouble. Are we more afraid of each other? Or are we afraid of not becoming like Jesus?
Yeah.
We're afraid, oh man, they may challenge me. Or are we afraid, what if they don't challenge me and I don't change and I don't become more like Jesus? Or we may be more afraid of what people think or what God thinks. Or are we more afraid of what people are going to think when we preach to them? Or are we more afraid of what's going to happen if we don't preach to them and they don't respond?
Come on,
that's what we need to be afraid of.
Come on.
What's going to happen if they don't hear the message?
Come on. That's right.
Don't be a spiritual blowfish. Amen?
Amen.
Don't get puffed up by fear, pride, and defensiveness.
Yeah.
In its engorged state. What a word, engorged. In that state, the pufferfish can only swim about half its normal speed. Guys, pride wastes time.
That's right.
Waste time. We get all defensive and prideful.
Amen.
We can't go at the speed God needs us to go at.
Amen. Right.
You know, one of the excuses people make for not laying down their lives for the kingdom of God is because, well, if I give God all that time, then I may mess up with my family.
Yeah.
If I'm out working for the Lord, I may not meet my needs of my wife and my kids.
Yeah.
And you know what? You need to think about that. Because we need to take care of our families.
That's right.
Bible says if we don't take care of our immediate family, we're worse than unbelievers.
Right.
However, is that the same God that's willing to work 70 hours a week to make money? Oh, but the reason is to make money and take care of my family. Right? Is that same person that's working a job and going to school, spending all that time, but not worried that's going to take you away from the wife and kids?
Come on.
But we're taught, we're trained that that's what we're supposed to do, and that's okay because we got to make money or we can't take care of them anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys with me?
Yeah, I'm with you, bro.
Right. Or is that the same guy that spent 3 hours talking to his girlfriend the other night and his quiet time was 10 minutes?
Come on.
God has got to have number one, guys. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're not going to make it. We can't be that spiritual blowfish because of our fear. And you know, a friend of mine wants to find fear. F-E-A-R. False expectations appearing real. We're afraid. We think, oh, this is going to happen. But we don't know if it's true, it's false, but we act according to that false belief of the future. Instead of acting on faith,
Amen.
Which is a positive belief about the future.
Right.
Believing God's going to take care of me.
Yeah.
If I serve Him, if I'm willing to fish all night, even when I don't catch a thing, at the proper time, the nets are going to be full and the nets won't break either. We can win this world, and it won't break our families.
Come on.
Because God's going to miraculously strengthen us like He did those nets.
That's right.
When they filled up with fish.
Amen.
Fish number two.
Come on, bro.
The flounder.
Oh, good.
Are you a spiritual flounder? Fish definition. A flat fish. A flattened body adapted to life on the sea floor. You know. Okay. Spiritual fish definition. Behaving awkwardly. Having difficulties. She's floundering in college is a way to use it. To make clumsy attempts to move or regain one's balance. To move or act clumsily and in confusion. Are you a flounder? Kind of clumsily going through your spiritual walk. Confused. Synonym. Blunder. A usually serious mistake typically caused by ignorance and confusion. I believe there's a lot of spiritual flounders out there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
Come on,
Greg. How you guys doing? Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Come on. 1 Corinthians 9.
Good stuff.
We didn't get to the clownfish yet. We'll get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to read in verse 24.
Come on, bro.
A little lesson here.
We're with you.
Okay. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. This is Paul's admonishment of the church in Corinth. Run as if you're running to get the prize, guys.
Yep.
Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever.
Yeah.
Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it submissive. Make it my slave. So after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. It's not just about what we say, it's about what we do.
Yep. Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
Paul said to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely.
That's right.
If you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers.
Right.
Isn't that awesome? So Heather got saved today.
Amen.
Oscar got saved today.
Amen.
Chris got saved on Friday when they were all baptized. But now it'll save them and their hearers.
Wow.
Now people are going to hear them. Even as Chris and I were talking about Psalm 51 the other day, and it talks about, give me that heart, create me a pure heart, give me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I'll teach transgressors your ways, and they'll come. See, there's no fear of the future, there's faith in the future. That's what God does. When we're not aimless, when we're not floundering around. A famous French alpine a skier, and a triple Olympic champion, Jean-Claude Killy. Amen, Omar? Oui, oui, je le crois. Jean-Claude Killy. He once said, he once said, the best and fastest way to learn a sport is to watch and imitate a champion. Isn't that awesome? How you want to learn basketball? Man, get the old Michael Jordan tapes out. Watch them. And imitate.
Yeah.
Are you a flounder because you don't want to imitate somebody else?
Wow, come on.
You don't want to find who is a spiritual champion and let me be like them.
Come on.
That's why Jesus came, to give us a flesh and blood example.
Yeah.
But we live in America and we have to be unique. We have to be our own person. Our own separate individual. Right? Something to make us distinct. That's the American dream. That's not God's dream. He already made you so specifically, perfectly unique. You don't need to try to be so. You know there's not one snowflake is the same. As many snowflakes as there are, not one is the same. No, not one fingerprint is the same. You're unique enough. Let's just all be like Jesus.
Yes.
But if you're floundering, if you're aimless, because you have not identified a spiritual champion and said, let me do what they're doing. That's God's plan, guys. God's plan is not assembly religion. It don't do nothing. You got to look around here and you got to go, who is where I'm not and I want to be there?
Come on.
And imitate. Don't be a spiritual flounder.
Amen.
Get focused. Get the distractions out of the way. Don't be choked like the thorny soil.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Fish number three. I just threw this one in last night. The crab. You could argue if it's a fish. It's in the shellfish family. Fish definition. A crustacean. Frustration, crustacean, name it. Such as the hermit crab. Are you a hermit crab? All held up in your house. Are you a king crab? Horseshoe crab? Let me give you the spiritual fish definitions. I want to prepare you. Buckle your seatbelt. A quarrelsome, ill-tempered person. To find fault, criticize someone or something. Are you a crab?
No.
Just walking around ill-tempered, bent out of shape. Bah, humbug. Right?
Yeah.
I know, come on. Oh, there's conviction in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Finding fault. Criticizing others.
Oh. Come on,
bro. Wow.
Come on.
Are we here to build each other up? Come on. Philippians chapter 2.
Come on.
Philippians chapter 2. Let's flip to Philippians. Come on. Let's be colossal with Colossians.
Come on.
Philippians chapter 2. Awesome scripture. Sorry, I'm a little loose cannon today. That's how you get when you see seven people added and bring the welcome to the kingdom. You just get kind of loose. That's awesome. All right, Philippians 2.
Come on, Chris. Bring it on.
Verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Man. That's incredible. Could throw a starfish in there too. That'd be awesome. Shine like stars in the universe. That is God's dream for His disciples.
Yep.
That when people look at disciples, they shine. You know, someone gets on the bus. They get on the bus. They get on the next bus. But then they get on Theo's bus, and it's different.
Yeah.
Are you with me, guys?
Yeah.
Someone goes to class. They sit in class after class till they sit next to Joel in class.
Yeah.
And it's different.
Amen.
You guys with me?
Yeah.
You know, we were out the other day studying the Bible with Chris down at Joe's job at the Aon Center. And whenever you're doing a Bible study in public, you love to see how people respond around you.
Yeah.
The women right behind us, they just ask us questions. What's going on? We got to meet them. Joe got their number. He said, "Man, would you like to start a Bible talk here in the Ann Center?" Yes, we would. But you got to get out there and shine. Let yourself shine. Let your light shine before men. But it ain't shining if we're... We're crabbing around.
Come on.
Can't do it.
Come on, Chris. Help us out.
Don't be a crab.
Okay.
Fish number four.
Okay.
Come on, Chris.
Thank you, bro. Come on.
Shark.
Ooh.
Spiritual shark. Sharks are everywhere. They live in waters all over the world, in every ocean, even in some rivers and lakes.
Yep.
Unlike bony fish, sharks have no bones. Their skeleton's made of cartilage, which is a tough, fibrous substance, not nearly as hard as bone. There are many different species of shark, ranging in size from the size of a person's hand to bigger than the bus Theo drives.
Wow.
Or bigger than a bus. I don't know how long your bus is. Fully grown, huh? Oh, yep, bigger than his bus. Fully grown shark ranged from 7 inches, the spiny pygmy shark, up to 50 feet, the whale shark. That's that. You see a big old shark drive up and see who's driving it. That's how big. Next time you see a bus, there's a shark that big.
That's crazy.
Man. Most sharks, though, are intermediate in size, about the same size as a person, 5 to 7 feet. Still too big for Chip. Sharks may have up to 3,000 teeth at one time. Most sharks do not chew their food. They gulp it down in big pieces. Teeth are arranged in rows. When one tooth is damaged or lost, it is replaced by another. Can you say Terminator Shark? Most of them have 5 rows of teeth at any time. And the front set, the largest, does most of the work. Shark attacks. When some sharks, like the great white or the gray reef shark, turn aggressive, prior to the attack, they arch their back and put their head back, which gets their mouth in the perfect position for the biggest bite when they come in. Something called a feeding frenzy. Occasionally, a group of sharks will attack a food source, for example, a school of fish, amen, in a maniacal fashion. They will attack all the food, anything in the area, even each other, sometimes eating and devouring other sharks. Just a maniacal frenzy. Acts chapter 20. I'm sad that this one has some serious consequences. Not that the others don't. They do. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul, when he leaves the church, heading for Jerusalem, it says here, to the elders, he says, keep watch over the flock, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. I know after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise to distort the truth and draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remembering for 3 years, I never stopped warning you night and day with tears. I'm sad to say that in the kingdom,
come on,
there are sharks.
Yep.
Why would God do that? I don't know, but He allows it. He allows us to respond the way we'll respond. Some respond loving Him. Some sprout up quickly, but have no root, and quickly fall away, like the rocky soil. Others are here, but they're not here for the right reasons. And we don't always know that, and sometimes people are there for the right reasons, but it changes. We open our arms. We do our best. We want to protect each other and protect the church. We need to. You see a fin in the water, what do? Shark! Get out of the water!
Yeah.
What if the shark jumped out of the water and said, yo, man, stop persecuting me! You're going to eat me, so I'm okay with it. Let's go. I'm going to let people get out of the water. But you always know who the sharks are. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth. Guys, you got to be careful in the church. Careful. And, you know, I've seen people I love very much become intense persecutors and ruin people's faith. That's why Paul said in Galatians 1, how are you deserting the gospel and turning to another gospel, which is no gospel at all?
Right.
Even if I or an angel from heaven should appear and teach you a gospel other than the one you accepted, let him be eternally condemned.
Yep.
If I turn into a shark, let me die. Don't desert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be alert, guys.
Yep.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Now the trick is to be alert and careful without stopping trusting and putting all the walls up.
Right.
You have to actually be vulnerable and allow yourself to get hurt sometimes. And then how are we going to respond to that?
That's right.
As we make this journey home. You know, there are other bad fish we could talk about if we had more time. We could talk about the largemouth bass. Here's a good one, the big mouth sleeper.
What?
Hope we don't have any of them in the kingdom, big mouth sleepers. How about the three-eyed flounder? That's a new level of weird. The lump fish. I wouldn't want to be a lump fish. The tongue fish. Doesn't sound too good. The clown fish. Yep. Maybe you want to be. Well, be careful. Chris, you better be careful. There's clowning around and then there's clowning around. Be careful. Amen. And then one of my worst favorite fish is the one that got away. You don't want to get them on the line and they get away. Not when it's the kingdom in the boat. But let's talk about some good fish. Maybe some of you would like to be an angel fish.
Yeah.
Be awesome. Or a king fish. A fish of the kings. Starfish. The flying fish. Maybe that got some of you. How about brothers? Sisters maybe too. Swordfish.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Got that sword sticking out. Swordfish has an extension, a large game fish having a long sword-like extension of the upper jaw that is used chiefly as a means of defense and attack.
Oh, wow.
Sword, baby. Remember Jesus in Revelation? And a two-edged sword came out of his mouth. Jesus was a swordfish, baby. That's hot. My personal favorite, the holy mackerel.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about one good fish that we can all imitate.
Come on.
And it's a salmon.
Oh,
a salmon. Oh, no, bro. Let's go back to the swordfish. I don't want to be a salmon. Well, let me see if I can change your mind.
Okay.
They're born in freshwater. They migrate to the ocean, but then they come back in the end to fresh water in order to reproduce, in order to bear fruit. Modern research shows at least 90% of the fish spawning in a stream were born there. That means they leave a little part of the stream, go all the way out in the ocean, they feed, and these things get big. I used to think the salmon, look, these things are big.
Yep.
You can go watch them at a hatchery or something when they're swimming upstream. These are big, like 30 pounds, you know, so 40 pounds. Fish jumping upstream against the grain, trying to get back home. Some species of salmon, once they've spawned, they'll die shortly after. Others that can actually spawn a few times, there's still a 40 to 50% mortality rate. That they'll die after they have their young. This upstream journey, they will swim in a group. They cover 30 to 50 kilometers per day. They have to swim at incredible rates. The long journey is a remarkable test. They swim upstream against many obstacles, both natural and man-made, against currents, waterfalls, dams, fallen trees, adverse water conditions, and predators. And since the salmon have been programmed somehow to return to that same tributary, that same river, even the same stream or gravel shallow where they were born,
wow,
they'll come all the way back home where their parents spawned them and they were hatched. Because that's in them. They swim on. Just keep swimming. Just keep... Exactly. And sometimes we need to be singing that song so that we don't stop. In the end, it's a journey that will cost them their life. But they want to get home. So what kind of fish are you? I believe so many people are floundering, lives broken, talents wasting, fires quenched, dreams dashed, tossed back and forth. They're in desperate need for help with no notion of purpose. So many people, when confronted by the Word, they swell up like blowfish, threatened, defensive. I urge you to have hearts that are open and hungry to change. Then you'll see your wounds healing and your vision clearing. If you will welcome the sometimes painful molding of God's hand, longing to be changed, begging to be called, demanding nothing and surrendering everything, you will find that in the Master's hands, you are safe and protected and ready to be used to help other people.
Amen.
This world is not our home. We're all on an upstream journey that when all is said and done, will cost us our lives.
Right.
All that will matter in the end is, do we make it home? And does anybody make it home with us? God bless you. Let's keep fishing.